This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Billions for Ukraine. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Friday, May 20th, glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Senate has easily approved a roughly $40 billion package for Kyiv that includes weapons and humanitarian aid.
The Republican-led legislature in Oklahoma has approved a near-total ban on abortions. The governor promises to sign the bill.
Rising mortgage rates and sky-high home prices are cooling off the housing market. April was the third month in a row of falling sales.
And how in this economy, a survey finds even average workers can be welcomed back into the fold.
Almost two-thirds of them said, yeah, we'd be willing to take back, you know, middling former employees. And 16% of them, Gordon, said they'd be willing to hire back anybody, regardless of skill level. I mean, they're so desperate to get bodies, some company.
Callum Borchers at the Wall Street Journal on a labor market where it takes a lot to get fired. The young man accused of killing 10 people in a live-streamed shooting in Buffalo has made a brief appearance in court. 18-year-old Peyton Gendron was heckled by some relatives of the victims at Buffalo City Court. One yelled, "You're a coward," as he was let out in shackles wearing an orange prison outfit. The accused gunman was remanded into custody, and the judge adjourned the hearing after a grand jury indicted him on a first-degree murder charge. Further action from the grand jury could include upgraded domestic extremism and hate crime charges. John Persons, president of Topps Markets, spoke at a rally for victims last night, saying the store will reopen.
We want to make sure that is done right, and we open it in a respectful manner for our associates, our employees, and for the community at large.
Mr. Gendron was busted Saturday in camouflage and body armor at the scene, which is about 200 miles from his home. The AR-15-style weapon used in the attack was covered in racist scrawlings. Lawmakers in Oklahoma have approved a bill that would ban nearly all abortions and would allow private citizens to sue anyone who helps women terminate a pregnancy. The bill would take effect immediately upon being signed by Republican Governor Kevin Stitt, making it the most restrictive abortion ban in the nation. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Republican-backed legislation bans abortion from the moment of fertilization, making exceptions only in cases of medical emergency, rape, or incest. The bill text says it does not prohibit the use of contraception or emergency contraception. The state already this month enacted a bill that banned abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy as opposed to fertilization. Like the latest measure, it relies on civil lawsuits to be enforced. The enforcement provision in both bills was modeled after Texas legislation. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Republican-led states around the country have been laying the groundwork to ban or heavily restrict abortion if the U.S. Supreme Court decides to overturn Roe v. Wade, the 1973 decision that established a constitutional right to an abortion. A draft Supreme Court opinion leaked earlier this month suggested the court is preparing to take that step. Another off day for stocks, although not nearly as off as Wednesday. The major indexes were down less than 1% yesterday. The S&P 500 is now close to a bear market. Meanwhile, how well is the American consumer holding up against sky-high inflation? It depends on whom you ask. Four major retailers, Walmart, Target, Home Depot, and Lowe's, reported quarterly financial results this week, and they each offered a different perspective on where and how people are spending their money. Here's Lauren Thomas, retail reporter at CNBC. Lauren, what are we learning?
This has been such an interesting week for the retail industry. I think there was a lot of anticipation, building up to these reports just because of this, you know, the broader macroeconomic trends and themes that we've kind of been seeing and discussing, right? So we've seen rising inflation, you know, inflation now at 40-year highs, you know, consumers have seen higher prices at the pump, you know, higher prices at the grocery store. But we haven't really yet had the opportunity to hear from these retailers firsthand to really dissect, you know, what they're seeing, you know, the kind of changes that they're, you know, seeing with the consumer as the consumer comes into their stores, and, you know, what that is ultimately going to mean for those businesses, right, for sales and profits. So again, you know, you see a company like Walmart, the largest private employer in the world, you know, certainly the biggest retailer here in the U.S., that is often a sort of bellwether for just the rest of the industry. So all things considered, you know, including this war between Russia and Ukraine that's still going on, there were so many factors at play. And this week was really going to be the first chance that, again, we got to hear from Walmart, Target, Home Depot, and Lowe's, you know, four of the biggest retailers here in the United States. And we can get into some of that. But yeah, what they said and some of the commentary that they gave has really been insightful.
I think part of that you referenced in your piece, and you said Americans are experiencing economic volatility differently. Yeah. Meaning what?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, I think this is a huge theme right now and really a good way to look at this dynamic. So consumers are spending differently really based upon their income levels, right? And that's certainly not new. I think we've seen that in past, you know, periods of a downturn in the economy. So you have wealthier Americans that have more savings and have more money to spend. So you've seen actually the luxury retailers hold up fairly well. You know, when the issues that they're experiencing right now, I think more so stem from China, for example, those lockdowns that are still going on in China. And that's really impacting the luxury sector more so than the demand here in the United States. Even Canada Goose, you know, they make really expensive winter coats. Canada Goose just this week raised its outlook, actually, which was kind of a rare thing when we've seen so many retailers cut their outlooks for the year. But Canada Goose is actually still seeing strong demand, again, from that high-income consumer. But then when you've got a company like a Walmart, even Target, you know, a little bit, that caters to a lower income, you know, kind of lower class in America, folks that are seeing those higher prices and then they have to make adjustments within their budget. You know, Walmart said that they're starting to see people buy a half gallon of milk rather than the full gallon, or they're buying private label deli meat to make a sandwich rather than, you know, the more expensive maybe Oscar Mayer label. So that's really the difference between these different groups of retailers and ultimately how consumers are responding differently. It really, you've got to drill into income levels, and I think the comfort that consumers have when they do see these higher prices.
Yeah. We're speaking with Lauren Thomas, retail reporter at CNBC. Her piece is called "Here's What Walmart, Target, Home Depot, and Lowe's Tell Us About the State of the American Consumer." So give us a thumbnail from each of those from your headlines. What's each saying right now about today?
Absolutely. Well, with Walmart and Target, I'll kind of lump them two together, but can give different examples. They were two companies where we've really seen their profits take a hit. And what they're seeing there is, you know, supply chain costs, higher labor expenses because they've had to raise wages. Those really, all those expenses added up, and those really hit both Walmart and Target in this most recent quarter, and it's also kind of clouding their outlook for the full year. So that's kind of on the profit side of the equation. But then again, on the sales side, which again kind of stems more from the consumer demand and what's happening there, both of them spoke to just the different behaviors that they're starting to notice in stores. I think it's important to point out that Target does cater to, you know, a bit of a, you know, a customer that, you know, maybe has a little bit more money to spend. You often hear the joke of you go into a Target store, you're just planning to buy, you know, cleaning supplies, you know, and then you end up adding dozens of other things into your cart just because they're so good at merchandising.
Thanks, Lauren. Lauren Thomas, retail reporter at CNBC. Coming up next, the weaponry in the latest package for Ukraine.
Dell Technologies wants to celebrate all your hard work with these Small Business Month specials. Get great value offers on powerful laptops, desktops, and servers with Windows 11 Pro starting at $499, plus top monitors and docks, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. It's the perfect time to upgrade so you and your team can stay secure from anywhere. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to refresh your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Dell recommends Windows 11 Pro for business.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday. The Senate has approved a nearly $40 billion military and economic aid package to help Ukraine fight Russia's invasion. Total tax dollars spent on aiding Kyiv is now $54 billion. The 86-11 vote saw all Democrats and most Republicans voting yes. The Republicans who opposed cited its price tag and misgivings about long-term involvement in funding a foreign war. The latest aid package includes 18 howitzers, 18 tactical vehicles to tow the howitzers, and 18 artillery tubes. There's humanitarian aid as well. Here's Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
The World Food Program recently estimated that a third of all Ukrainians are facing food insecurity, with children, pregnant women, the elderly at heightened risk of malnutrition.
Meanwhile, Ukraine officials said earlier today that Russian forces intensified their offensive in the eastern Donbas region using artillery, rocket launchers, and aircraft around Donetsk. The regional governor says shelling in Luhansk has killed 13 civilians over the past 24 hours. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden will open his trip to Asia with a focus on the U.S. tech sector, touring a Samsung computer chip plant that will serve as a model for a $17 billion semiconductor factory that the Korean electronics company is building outside Austin. Biden will deal with a multitude of foreign policy issues during his six-day visit to South Korea and Japan.
Number two.
With a number of defenders left holed up in a Mariupol steel factory dwindling, Britain's defense ministry says Russian commanders will be coming under increasing pressure to reallocate troops from the strategic southern port city to bolster their offensive in eastern Ukraine. Before leaving for Asia, President Biden expressed his support for Finland and Sweden joining NATO.
New members joining NATO is not a threat to any nation.
Number three.
The CDC is recommending a Pfizer COVID booster shot for children ages 5 to 11 at least 5 months after their primary vaccination series. As infections are on the rise across the country and immunity from the first two doses wanes, the CDC's panel of independent vaccine experts voted overwhelmingly in favor of the boosters. The Biden administration is preparing to fly hundreds of pallets of baby formula from Europe to the U.S. in an effort to mitigate the ongoing shortage. The White House says it's identified 1.5 million 8-ounce bottles of Nestle formula to transport it from Zurich to Indiana, from where it will be distributed. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot is asking Republican Congressman Barry Loudermilk of Georgia about a tour he led of the Capitol complex a day before it was overrun by a mob, saying they're looking into reports of protesters who scoped out the building ahead of the riot. The committee says, based on its review of evidence, it believes Loudermilk has information about January 5th, 2021. Vangelis, the Greek electronic composer who wrote the unforgettable Academy Award-winning score for the film Chariots of Fire and music for dozens of other movies, documentaries, and TV series, has died at 79. The opening credits of Chariots of Fire roll as a bunch of young runners progress in slow motion across a beach in Scotland, accompanied by one of the most instantly recognizable musical themes in cinema.
No question about that. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, questions for your financial advisor in the current stock market.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. First, consider this general guide on investing. Financial advisors say it's about playing the long game instead of hyperventilating over headlines and doing something drastic. Now, file that statement under things easier said than done in this current stock market. Questions you should be asking from Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, take us through it.
I was just sort of brainstorming on the question that would go through a person's mind at a moment like this. And one of them is, my money's in index funds, so what if I just kept them in index funds? And because many advisors say this is really over the long haul, the best way to go, you know, low costs, you'll just track the market, and in the end, you'll be rewarded, but you've got to have that patience. And so people said, in this intermediate moment, it's going to be bumpy. It's going to continue to go down. That's always kind of like the safe, safe default way to go. I mean, some indexes are built differently than others, and some are more like the way they're kind of structured. More exposed to tech, for example, like the S&P or a NASDAQ. So those are things you need to take into consideration as well.
Yeah. So I think generally speaking, right, you're considered a long-term investor if you're 5 years or more away from retirement. But what about those folks who are there now, just got there or maybe a year or two away?
I think for them, one possibility is bonds and fixed income. You're not going to get any eye-popping returns, but some advisors say that it will kind of give you a little bit of a buffer on the downside a bit. One thing to take in mind with bonds is there's this thing called interest rate risk, where if you have a bond for a long amount of time at a certain interest rate, and in this rising rate environment, other bonds are going to come in with higher rates, and that's going to push your bond prices down. So that's why they say short durations would be best if you're looking into bonds at this moment.
Speaking with Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. He's written a piece that's called Ask Your Financial Advisor These Questions Before Reacting to Stock Market Volatility. A lot of it comes down to, as you point out in the story, your personal risk for appetite. But what about these other person-by-person variables?
Yeah, one of the things you mentioned, I mean, how much time do I have before I need to make some major money decision in my life, like a planned purchase of a house, or the big kahuna retirement, so that is those are all the things that people need to be playing it, taking into consideration. Another one is, how much time am I willing to put into research if I want to do what's called buying the dip, where you think you know where the bottom is and it's all north from here. If you do that, people say come with it with an ounce of humility, because there could be further dips to go.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Your brain's morning workout. You're listening to America's First News This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday, May 20. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Oklahoma passes a near total ban on abortions. The Senate greenlights $40 billion in aid for Ukraine. Leading candidates in the Pennsylvania GOP Senate race separated by 1,100 votes. Texas A&M football coach Jimbo Fisher says Alabama coach Nick Saban should have been slapped as a child. A response to Saban's criticism of A&M. Committed to 10,000 steps a day for exercise, a report says benefits peak at 7,500. And Rory McIlroy leads the PGA Championship with Tiger Woods 9 strokes back. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. Some jobs have always required little more than the ability to stay awake. In the tightest labor market in a half century, people in higher functions may get by just going through the motions too. But Callum Borchers, columnist at the Wall Street Journal, says to hold down a job these days, a worker seemingly needs one essential trait, and that's a pulse. Cal, explain.
Well, you know, I was thinking about sort of the flip side of this great resignation, Gordon, right? There's so many people leaving their jobs voluntarily. I kind of figured, well, you know, who's getting pushed out involuntarily? And so I checked the labor statistics, and it turns out hardly anybody. I mean, it's a fraction of 1% that are getting laid off or dismissed every month. And then you sort of call people up and say, well, what's going on? And basically, they're so worried about recruiting. There's no chance that you're going to find somebody who, or no guarantee, but you're going to find somebody better to replace an underperformer. So unless you have somebody who is truly just dragging down the business and you just have to cut bait, you're going to sort of deal with the person who's kind of, you know, humdrum, because that might be the best you can do at the moment.
So to that point, you talked about this software company, UKG, and they said they're willing to rehire some former middling managers.
Yeah, they said this is very common. This is like an HR software company, and they polled something like 2,000 managers, and almost two-thirds of them said, yeah, we'd be willing to take back, you know, middling former employees. And 16% of them, Gordon, said they'd be willing to hire back anybody, regardless of skill level. I mean, they're so desperate to get bodies, some companies. I mean, that's something like one in six, one in seven. That's a pretty big number.
And so part of that, though, I guess, for the committed company would mean training and perhaps retraining.
Yes, and so that's what I'm hearing from the Society for Human Resource Management, which is that companies are really committing to investing, retraining their employees. You might just say, okay, well, we're not going to terminate this person, but we're going to move them to a different job function. Let's hope they can be decent at something else. And maybe in the past, you would have just canned them. And that may be a good thing in the long run. In other words, that you got workers who and some of them actually may not just be slacking off on purpose. Some of them may just be in the wrong kind of role. I was thinking about the sports analogy. I was comparing managers to like Bill Belichick, right? Because I'm a New England guy. So I'm thinking about the way, you know, Bill has turned these players who they come in for one position. Julian Edelman, right, comes in as a quarterback.
Yeah.
It turns him into a great wide receiver. Sometimes that can work in business, too.
I'm speaking with Callum Borchers, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. His piece is called, In This Economy, Getting Fired Takes Hard Work. I chuckled, too, at the one guy I talked to who was trying to calculate how to figure out how bad you can be at your job.
Yeah, I love this. Leave it to the business school professors to help us do the math on this. This is Ben Friedrich, who teaches at Northwestern. And he said, you know, you basically have to think about, like, how important is what you do to the company's bottom line? But actually, there's an ironic twist to this, which is you might think by that he means, oh, if you're really important, you're hard to push out the door. No, it's actually the reverse. I heard from multiple HR specialists who said it's actually the people in the highest job functions who are in the riskiest position right now, because their failures are just so costly for a business that even in a tight labor market, they might be the ones to get fired because you just can't deal with them. But if you're not that important to the business, you know, you're just kind of like a rank and file worker, well, you probably aren't going to inflict a whole lot of damage by not doing so great at your job. So you may just be shuffled off into some other function, but you're going to keep that paycheck.
Part of the risk, as you pointed out in your story, is that putting up with somebody or people who are subpar could drive away the good employees.
Yeah, I mean, the short-term calculus makes sense, right? You're concerned about recruiting, so you hang on to the people you already have. But what happens if you're not able to adequately reward your high performers? I was thinking about Wall Street as a good example because they were paying out huge bonuses last year, gangbusters year on Wall Street. Well, so far, not so good this year, right? The Dow is down double digits so far in 2022. So those bonuses for the top performers may not be there. And for that matter, the promotion pool may be smaller as well. So you might have the situation, just to pick that as an example sector, where the highest performers don't get much of a reward, but the low performers aren't getting fired. Everybody's kind of treated in the middle. And I spoke with this this woman named Jessie Wisdom, who runs a company that helps other businesses motivate their workforces. And she said, you know, this kind of situation is really demotivating. If you're a high achiever, you might be wondering, why do I have to put in so much effort right now? What's the point?
Thanks, Cal. Callum Borchers, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, a hack for sticky notes.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Friday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we often hear about people getting a financial windfall by mistake. Maybe a bank accidentally puts a ton of money into their account, or they find cash scattered in the street from an armored truck. In those cases, it's best not to go spending that found money, and this person should have followed that advice. A 24-year-old man in Japan was arrested this week after receiving the equivalent of over $350,000 for what was supposed to be COVID-19 assistance. Each citizen of the town was supposed to receive only $780.
Jeez.
The money was mistakenly wired to the man's account, but instead of reporting it to the authorities, he instead decided to use it to gamble.
Of course.
And Lady Luck was apparently not on his side, as there's only $530 of that money left after he withdrew from it 34 times over 10 days.
Wow.
To make matters worse, the man allegedly was asked to return the money by the town and refused. He's now being held on suspicion of computer fraud.
Wow. So computer fraud, meaning he probably was gambling online from home.
I guess so, yeah.
Jeez.
I guess all this is done electronically.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's sort of a technicality they can get him on some sort of computer fraud. But yeah, so how about that? So in 10 days,
yeah.
$350,000 or so, he manages to somehow gamble away. I mean, that takes some doing.
So that's like roughly $10,000 per withdrawal that he was making.
Right.
My man went big.
Right. And big and lost big. I mean, if he's only got $500 left.
What if he...
That's a bad run of luck right there.
What if he spent the $350,000 but made $100,000?
Yeah.
Gives the money back, files some taxes, pays a fine for stealing, and I don't know, comes out with 50 grand.
Yeah, maybe gets to keep the excess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I see. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, did not get to that point.
Goodness.
And there are likely few things we think about less than the pack of yellow sticky notes lurking on our desk, but as it turns out, we've been using this staple of the office wrong for our whole lives. This according to a viral TikTok video. Ali Abdal, who has nearly 100,000 subscribers to his videos about tech and productivity, explains in the clip that most of us rip off the top sheet of the pad from the bottom up, so that when you stick it to the desk, it naturally wants to curl up from the bottom and unstick itself. He then rips another sheet left to right instead of top to bottom, showing how the note will now lay flat when you stick it. Some commenters were shocked at this revelation, calling it a game changer. Others mocked the people who actually needed this advice, joking that if you couldn't figure this out on your own, you're not responsible enough to own Post-it notes. Another joked that they should teach this in school, which could lead to world peace and end to famine and a cure for cancer.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, you have plenty of
I love sticky notes
around your desk.
Love
them.
But
I think from what I can tell, you're a bottom-up ripper because they are mostly curled up on your desk.
Well, the bottom-up ripping is, it's just a quick note I give to Jen as we compare our sound bites for the show.
Yeah.
And by the time it even gets a chance to curl up, she has probably thrown it out anyway. So that's not really a thing. And I think I don't really think that much about how to properly unattach a sticky note or a post-it note.
That's why we have these people with 100,000 subscribers to show you this.
But I think yellow is boring. Like, I have some pastel colors, right? I got like the lavender.
Yes,
I have
very colorful.
A mint green. It's very pleasant in here.
Livening things up in the studio.
High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Rapidly rising mortgage rates and sky-high home prices are cooling off the housing market. Existing home sales in April fell 2.4%, third month in a row of falling sales, but the housing market still looks relatively hot by historic standards. Meanwhile, MarketWatch put together a list of tips from the pros about getting the home you want when there's this type of competition. Number one, show the money. That could mean offer over asking price, increase your deposit from 1% to 20%, or make an all-cash offer. Number two, get a pre-approval letter specifically for the home you want. After all, sellers want assurances that the sale will go through. Number three, alter or waive contingencies like a home inspection or an appraisal contingency. And number four, be flexible on timing. Agree to a closing date that accommodates the seller. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Senate has approved a $40 billion package of military, economic, and food aid for Ukraine by a vote of 86 to 11, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Aid for Ukraine goes far beyond charity. The future of America's security and core strategic interests will be shaped by the outcome of this fight.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky thanked the U.S., calling the aid a demonstration of strong leadership.
Number two.
The 18-year-old white man accused of killing 10 people in a live stream shooting in a black neighborhood of Buffalo briefly appeared in court yesterday and was ordered to remain in custody without bail. Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown addressed a rally honoring the victims.
We know that faith is the answer. Love is the message.
The suspect is accused of opening fire in the parking lot and inside of a grocery store with a semi-automatic assault-style rifle.
Number three.
Oklahoma lawmakers have approved a bill prohibiting all abortions with a few exceptions, and providers say they would stop performing the procedure as soon as the governor signs it. In the latest example of the GOP's national push to restrict access to what's been a constitutional right for nearly half a century, Oklahoma lawmakers this year already passed a half dozen anti-abortion measures. High winds, drought conditions, and extreme temperatures have caused a series of wildfires in Texas, including one that's destroyed about 30 structures and burned more than 9,000 acres. Stuart Morris is with the Texas A&M Forest Service.
We're going to be on this for a while, unfortunately, and so main thing is just we're going to try and pace ourselves and get through this best we can.
The fire southwest of Abilene was only 5% contained as of yesterday afternoon. While face masks aren't mandatory on public transportation or in related transportation hubs, the CDC is recommending COVID testing before travel. The agency suggests people consider getting a test as close to the time of departure as possible so travelers will know if they have a current coronavirus infection before they depart. An ultra-rare Mercedes-Benz race car is sold for $140,000. $43 million, making it the most expensive car ever sold. Sotheby's says it auctioned off the 1955 coupe earlier this month, smashing the previous record for the most expensive car sold at auction by more than $95 million. The car is one of only two created in 1955 and is regarded as one of the most prized cars in auto history.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Jens. Dell Technologies wants to celebrate all your hard work with these Small Business Month specials. Get great value offers on powerful laptops, desktops, and servers with Windows 11 Pro starting at $499, plus top monitors and docks, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. It's the perfect time to upgrade so you and your team can stay secure from anywhere. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to refresh your business tech with these Small Business Month specials. Dell recommends Windows 11 Pro for business.
Thanks for being with us. A woman graduating with a four-year degree ended up welcoming a son on the same day commencement took place. 21-year-old Jada Sales earned a bachelor's in criminal justice. She gave birth hours after names were read during Dillard University's graduation in New Orleans. Fox News says less than a day later, the college president arrived at Ochsner Baptist Medical Center to hand Ms. Sales her degree amid a special hospital room ceremony. Doctors told her she was due May 14, the same day as graduation. She still planned on walking, but earlier that morning, contractions started, so she went to the hospital where doctors determined she was in labor. Ms. Sales' son, Easton, was born right about 1 o'clock, weighing 7 pounds 6 ounces. She, by the way, hopes to work in public policy and plans on now attending law school. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.